How many know sometimes you are suffering, and in the midst of suffering, you're complaining all the way through it? Two hands, right? What is a sacrifice of praise? What is a sacrifice of praise? We don't feel like it. Your emotions are all tipsy-turvy. You're upset. You're not believing that God cares one ounce about you. You think he forgot you. It's your birthday and nothing good's happened. Yeah. Yeah. So there are times that, you know, the emotions want to rule, but the Lord says, give me a sacrifice of praise. And Laurie gave us an explanation of what a real sacrifice was: to give it up, to give it to the Lord, to give your child to the Lord, to give your mom and dad and whoever is really a problem in your life to the Lord, and admit you can't do it. And when you can't do it, how many have got a few bills they can't handle? No different. Lord, I can't handle this. This is much too big for me. I can't do it. And when you admit your dysfunctional ability, he has what? He's got the power. He's got the strength. He's got the ability. And he's got the answer. Because he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. And the light. I'll lighten things up for you. Okay. Mary, how much did you have to pay to bring this in this morning? Is your husband going to give you a complaint?
There it is.
Okay. Please tell us. Why? Why'd you bring this?
When it came in the mail, I saw it.
Oh, it's Peggy's fault. Okay. Since you all got the good look, your wife just loaned it to me. So it's the photograph of a nice big dragonfly. And this week, you know how everybody got things that you don't comprehend? Tuesday night, a dragonfly was shown in this room. It was seen in a vision by our sister. And I kind of knew, but I didn't want to say. So I just let it ride, and she saw it, if I remember correctly, hitting one wall, then going after another, hitting another wall. And if I remember correctly, it hit the third wall, and then it was not seen. Well, how many know God is always in charge? So if you got your Bibles, I want you to go to Isaiah 59. Because I got two emails. I'm getting good, you know. I can actually read my email. That's pretty good. And one of them is about dragonflies. And it's a reprint from Morningstar publication and Rick Joyner. So if you notice, I printed it nice and big so I wouldn't have a problem reading it. And I'm not giving you all the pages because this article has like 4 or 5 pages. But if you have a computer, you can check this out. And I'd like to kind of give you an overview of what God was showing me. But we're going to be going to Isaiah 59. But first, I want to read to you a part of what Rick Joyner has to say about what the vision was. Satan is called Beelzebub here, which means the Lord of the flies. In dreams and visions, flies often represent lies. Wow. Lies. How many know lies come in small, medium, and large? They do. Because it's going to affect you. And the bigger the lie that people believe about you, the more dangerous and destructive it will be. So would you bow your heads, please? Say, Lord Jesus, I want to learn. about the ways of the Spirit. And I want a spiritual understanding of what this vision means for me. Hallelujah. So, Satan is also called the father of lies. You don't need to repeat that because you're just probably going, God willing, you're going to learn this, okay? And lies are the primary weapon of the devil used to divide and destroy and to kill. One of the remarkable and interesting descriptions of battle scenes in wars is the loud sound of flies that swarm to the battle scene, because the wounds, likewise, lies... swarm to any place that there are spiritual wounds. So in the natural battlefield, there are natural wounds. In the spiritual field and warfare, there is spiritual wounds. How many have ever understood that? How many have ever felt in their body a literal arrow or knife or permeation of some type where you know that you've been wounded? And you can't understand it because there's no physical evidence. But the pain is as real, as living as you are. And you did absolutely nothing wrong. You just got hit. There are spiritual arrows, and I could prove that to you, but we're not going there right now. So there are spiritual arrows, and there are spiritual wounds, and there are spiritual wars. Amen? So, the sound of the flies that swarm to a battle scene because of wounds, likewise, lies swarm to any place that there are spiritual wounds, and when they land on a wound, they can cause infection in it. Especially if it has just come from a dead body. One of the most potent germ factories of all is really a dead body. Now you say, how does that apply? Do you mean I go to a morgue or I go to the funeral home? No. I'm talking about the dead body of Christ. Or people that are belonging to the dead body of Christ. Or touching the dead body of Christ. And you say, do we have to go to the tomb? No. This is spiritual. How many know there's a spiritual bride that's full of the love of God, but there's also a false bride? That's hard to take, but there is a false Christ. St. Paul says, not everyone that preaches Jesus is preaching my Jesus. Some are preaching a Jesus to satisfy their own lust or satisfy their own desires, and they wound people. Have you ever been wounded? There you go. So as the Lord, in his prophetic language, always uses metaphors, which are technically accurate to the truth, he is seeking to convey that Satan is called Lord of the Flies. Describes how he sends his lies to swarm to wounds, that this is why in everything from division that arises in churches, in national tragedies, he seeks to send flies, which will cause even more devastation and bring spiritual infection that make the wounds worse and even more deadly. Last year, our prophetic friend, Bob Jones, who's ever heard of Bob Jones? Okay, Bob Jones is a beautiful man of God that loves the Lord, was given a word that dragonflies were about to be released from hell. These were large, far more powerful lies that were from the dragon himself. Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? Does that take away the beauty of the animal itself, or a little fly? No. It's just an understanding of what God is doing. When the enemy comes in like a flood, we have the promise that the Lord will raise up a standard against him. If this is true, then we can also expect great truth to be released from the Lord with the power to counter any lie of the devil. This is what we must start to pray for. The power of truth to overcome everyday lie. And every lie. How many have just gained a little tiny piece of wisdom? Yeah. Now I want you to go to Isaiah 59 with me. Isaiah is literally telling us to wake up. And in verse 19, which is the verse that I want to really concentrate on, it says, and I'm using the Amplified because I was pressed, "So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood." It says when the enemy. It doesn't say if. It doesn't say he might. It says he will. When the enemy comes in. I would put a comma there. Because you see, the commas are not in the original. "Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put him to flight." Did you hear me? When we began to praise and worship on Tuesday, he disappeared. Why? Because he didn't find a home, or maybe a wounded heart, or a wounded soul. If he had, you might hear a few lies. Because he'll spread his infection from one mouth to the other by lies. "For he will come like a rushing stream." Jesus will come like a rushing stream, "with which the breath of the Lord drives." In other words, the river of life is going to come in and begin to wash away all of the old, so that you won't be infested by some germs from some lies that you got from a dead body. Now that's pretty prophetic. But if you remember, the vision of today was that the water was coming in and we decided to float. And it came in where? From? And it lifted up the people. How many have ever learned how to float? Some of you don't know how yet. Okay, that's neat. I can remember the Lord showing me, when I was a kid, this wonderful young man that I cared about, and he was kind of short and chunky. And he could float, and I couldn't. And guess what I blamed it on? I was too skinny. That's what the problem was. I could not float because he would just sit there in the water on his back, and he would float, and he would float, and he would float, and I was as jealous as a peacock. And every time I tried, because he'd tell me, "Kim, it's not hard. Just lay on your back. It can be done. No big deal." What he didn't tell me is my rump was in the way. He didn't tell me I had to lay flat in the water and let my ears be overtaken by the water. So I thought I could probably put on a few pounds and solve the problem. So I ate. And it didn't work. Nobody told me to straighten out my spine. Nobody told me to let my water cover almost the entirety of my face. Nobody told me to rest with my back nice and straight and maybe wiggle my feet a little bit, wiggle my hands a little bit, and that's all I needed to do. And I could float. It took me almost 50 years to learn that lesson. I even put on a few pounds, might help. All teasing aside, what is God telling us? He says, "In rest, I will restore you. When you're at peace, I will renew you." Amen? "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." While you're running around and doing all the work yourself. Is that the song? No. It's "they that wait upon the Lord." Okay. I want you to back up now. like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. It is your job to always push against the enemy. Or do you have to do it over and over and over till he gets the message? No. All you have to do is say, uh-uh. No way. Ain't going there. Be gone. I'm not listening to your lies, period. And that's enough. Verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear dull with deafness, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands have defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue muttered wickedness. Now, at one time, I used to think that was all about the neighborhood. It's really all about you against yourself. And while I am focused on my own iniquities, my own sin nature, my own failures, I then get upset with who? Me. So my focus is all about me. And while I'm seeing all the ugliness inside of me, I don't see Jesus. I only see the sin. And I'm so focused on my sinful nature, I can't stand myself. And I got, my God, only one amen? Only one amen. Bob, I'm appreciative. What are you guys doing? Are you looking at your sin nature? If you are, what are you doing? You're so focused on what you did wrong. What about the list of the things that you did right? How many need to make another list besides the one they've got about how much wrong you do in a week? You need to change it. While you're focused on all the garbage, the enemy's taking you for a ride. You need to submit to him, and like a flood, he will what? Wash away. All right. Verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue muttered wickedness. None sues or calls in righteousness. First, in parentheses, for the sake of doing injury to others, to take some undue advantages. No one goes to law honestly and pleads in truth. They trust in emptiness, worthlessness, and futility, and speaking lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth evil. They hatch adder eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies. From an egg which is crushed, a viper breaks out. For their nature is ruinous and deadly and evil. Their web will not serve as clothing, nor will they cover themselves with what they make. Their works are works of iniquity, and acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation, destruction are in their paths and highways. The way of peace they know not. And there is no justice in their right goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whoever goes in them does not know peace. Therefore, our justice and right far from us, and righteousness and salvation do not overtake us. We expectantly wait for light, but see darkness for brightness. But we walk in obscurity and gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. Yes, we grope as they who have no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in twilight, in dark places and among those who are full of life and vigor. We are as dead men. You have a picture of a man named Cho. Am I picking on Cho? No. But do you have a picture of what happened to this young man? Verse 11. We all groan and growl like bears and moan plaintively like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, O Lord, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquity, we know and recognize them all. Rebelling and denying the Lord and turning away from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and muttering and moanings from the heart, words of falsehood. Another pack of lies. Justice is turned away backwards, and righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God stand far off. For truth has fallen in, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. So is God upset about what happened in Virginia? Yes. If you're upset, you're on his side. It is normal to have this kind of reaction. Verse 16. Here's the problem. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Oh, the whole country's praying for that experience that some are even living right now, possibly putting their child in the ground in a tomb and saying, when will we ever be rejoined? Yesterday's news was just very difficult. It's going on in Iraq. It's going on in every nation that we know that do not know the Most High. Where are the intercessors? Where are they? Are they so focused on their own pain and on their own sinfulness that they can't intercede and pray for the others? Yes, that's where we're at, and we need to change it. Okay. In parentheses, it says, no one to intervene on behalf of truth and right. Therefore, his own arm brought him victory, and his righteousness sustained him. For the Lord put on righteousness as a breastplate or coat of mail, and salvation for a helmet upon his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds deserve, according as their deeds deserve, so will he repay wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. On the foreign islands and coastlands, he will make compensation so that they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put him to flight. For he will come like a rushing stream with the breath of the Lord drives, which the breath of the Lord drives. He shall come as a redeemer to Zion and to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, says the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant, league with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is upon you in parentheses, and who writes the laws of God inwardly in your hearts, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your children and out of the mouth of your children's children, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever. What am I saying? You better hear that the generations that are coming are going to be transformed and healed or murdered depending on your ability to get in there and stand in the gap when God says pray. When God says get up, get out of your comfort zone and intercede for those that are in Iraq. Get up, intercede for those that are in the Mercy Hospital doing something stupid. Yeah, they had to evacuate the fifth floor yesterday. Is that so far that you didn't hear the news about Holyoke where people got killed? And nobody wants to stand up for justice? Nobody wants to pray and intercede? Scary, isn't it? But this is where we live. And are we to fall under that anointing of fear? Absolutely not. I'd like to finish what I read to you earlier about Bob Jones and the revelation. The tragedy on the Virginia Tech campus is another terrible wound to our nation. Like the Columbine, and like the attacks of 9/11, after the 9/11 attack, like lies flew like bullets over the battle. Accusations were thrown at everyone, and infection from that turned the war on terror into a partisan battle. At home, instead of unification required to win a war, even the bipartisan studies on how it happened broke down along party lines into just more conflict and accusation. The infections from that wound continues to spread to this day and have seriously weakened our resolve as a nation to fight, much less win the war. It is not unusual for people to lash out when they are hurt or wounded, correct? Even faithful pets will lash out at their beloved owners when they are wounded. However, I was personally surprised to see how fast the accusations began to fly on the Virginia Tech campus after this tragedy. We can now expect a swarm of lies to come upon this situation as devil's attempt to further infect it and cause it even more damage. However, Christians can help to stop this when? Now. Say, it starts with me. My attitude of how these kids need intercession is up to the Holy Spirit to prompt me and to really press me for my neighborhood, for this area, because God has a plan of salvation for New England. First, we need to pray for those who have been psychologically wounded in this situation, either by the loss of loved ones or being physically wounded, as well as other students and faculty at the school, especially those who witnessed the carnage. And this, I want you to really listen with double ears. Trauma is the one of the biggest gates of hell. I want you to repeat that. Close your eyes. Say, a trauma is one of the biggest gates of hell and an open door for hell for entering a person's life and yoke it with fear and depression and other kinds of sicknesses or maladies. Are you catching on? Now listen. Maladies which could oppress them the rest of their lives. These are spiritual infections which are the results of lies, such as someone starting to become irrationally fearful of other people's and situations. That's how it starts. This kind of fear is probably now gripping other college students across the country, as well as students at any school. It is likewise trying to get a grip on parents. as well as school administrators, teachers, and other workers. There will be an almost irresistible tendency on the part of all to overreact to this situation. We need to pray for the focus and the energy caused by this tragedy to be turned into positive actions and reactions. Not just reactions to becoming just another accusation of lies against what's happened, but to really ask God, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, and those that are left can rise above it. Amen? So not just reactions becoming a victory, especially for those most closely affected by it. Once the grieving is over, this can inspire all who were touched by it to have a more meaningful life because of the impact to impart just how precious and fragile life is. It was encouraging for all of the college students around the country to start emailing the students at Virginia Tech with their support, many saying, "We're all Hokies now." That's a gift. When someone is letting you know, "Hey, we're with you. We may have green and yellow for our colors, but today we're going to wear purple and orange, right?
Orange and maroon.
Orange and maroon, yeah. And that's awesome. This is the way we should react. I confess that my first thoughts about my daughter, this is Rick speaking, who will soon be choosing a college, was to feel that there was no way we should now consider Virginia Tech. Then I knew this was the opposite of the way we should react to this. I'm going to encourage her to seriously consider Virginia Tech. It is in this tragedy caused the registration of this great school to go down. Then the devil has won another victory. What do we do? How do we respond? Some of you have questioned, am I sane? Yes, you are. Is God seeing the injustice? Yes, he is. Has he allowed it? He has no choice. He's given us free will. When God begins to rebuild a country, there's blood that gets shed. It's the way that it works. I tell you now, as a family of believers, I want you to stand. Put your Bibles down. Come up front. Father, we just come before you. And we know that these young people are weeping and hurting. And their parents, their grandparents, and all the families that have been affected, not just there, but of all our veterans. Of all those that have lost a loved one. So I want you to declare with me. Say, Lord Jesus, like a flood, you're going to flood their hearts with mercy and with grace and with healing. And you will turn this into good because your word is at stake. Jesus Christ is the living word. He says he is the way. He's the truth, and he's the light. So the Lord will find a way for each one, each family, each teacher, each government official, going all the way to the White House, finding solutions and healing for the people of this land. We lift up the other nations all over the world that are in strangulation under the enemy of lies, and it shall not continue because of Isaiah 59:19. Like a flood, God's going to flood this earth with this truth, that God is in control.
And the spirit of justice.
And the spirit of mercy.
And the spirit of healing.
And deliverance
will free
this people.
All for the glory of our God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.